We are joined by our friend and compatriot and flying guru and mechanical wizard, Barnaby Wayne Fan.
Hey guys, it's great to be back here.
It's good to have you back.
Every year.
Coming
to see you guys is becoming a regular part of my adventure, and I really enjoy the chance to come
and
chat.
We enjoy having you because we can actually almost talk your level.
Yeah, and we actually can admit that we have one fan, and that's Barnaby. So,
he's heard that joke a million times, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, it's a popular.
We're not going
one.
There.
No, not at
we're
all. Going. So, Barnaby, what's up? What brings you around here to Air Venture again?
Well, what brings me around here, of course, is what brings everybody here. This is the best aviation place in the universe, and you know, catch up with old friends, see what's happening, see what's new, talk to you guys.
Yeah. Now listen, you just were mentioning something about EAA technology on four wheels instead of two. That's kind of intriguing.
Last couple of years I've been involved with a really neat project for a prize called the Automotive X Prize, the Progressive Insurance Automotive X Prize, and it was a prize to be awarded for highway capable, producible 100 mile per gallon or better cars. And I was on a team called Edison 2, and I'm very proud to say that we won the mainstream class, which was four-seat cars, with a car that kind of flies in the face of conventional wisdom because it's a steel tube chassis with a composite body on it, very much like you see in the home-built airplane world. The two lead designers of the car, which was myself and a gentleman named Ron Mathis, are all hardcore pilots and EAAers. And we ended up with a four-seat car that on actual test on the highway did 129 miles per gallon at freeway speed.
Wow.
Now, how much did this thing weigh? I mean, well, let me back up on that. Four-seat car, but I mean, can I throw my normal amount of luggage and everything else I might want to carry with me?
The volume was similar to an economy car. So, you know, take a look at one of the bottom-end economy cars, and it was very similar, although the team owner was a gentleman named Oliver Kootner. Oliver is a big guy. He's over 6'4", and so even though the requirements for the prize said 75th percentile people in the back seat, Oliver insisted that he had a fit in the back seat, too. So it's a real four-seat car. It had about 10 cubic feet of luggage space. It's rear-engine, so the luggage space was in the nose. But it actually looked more like a taxiing airplane than a car, in a sense. Very streamlined body. And an awful lot of the aero design that went into it is stuff I learned doing home builds, doing, for example, the Kolb Mark III Extra, which has, you know, been a bestseller for quite a while for Kolb. And, you know, a lot of the aero inspiration came from that. And we ended up basically taking the view that weight and drag are the two most important things. So rather than going for very exotic technology, we simply got right with the physics. So we ended up with a car with a curb weight of just over 700 pounds.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
And in fact, for the prize, we had to carry 100 pounds of ballast because we didn't have airbags and DOT legal bumpers and things like that. So they assessed us a 100 pound ballast to simulate that. And we think a production car could be under 1,000 pounds.
My goodness.
That's incredible.
I'm lining up to buy one.
What were you using for your steel tube frame? Were you using 4130?
Good old fashioned 4130. And one of the things that was interesting is that all of the tubes were NC cut.
Nice.
And the company that did that was actually a company that I found here at AirVenture because they display here regularly. And you know, we were just getting ready to start the classic, you know, grind and fit thing, and I said, I got a business card from these guys. Let's check them out, and it actually worked out very, very well.
So this thing was mostly CAD designed, and then emailed off.
Well, it was an interesting combination, really, because we combined the two most powerful tools in the design world. One is CAD, and the other is a quad pad and a number two pencil.
Right.
And so, you know, if you look at it, the car was originally conceived on a quad ruled pad with a number two pencil, and then once we had it basically figured out, then we took it into the computer. And one of the very cool things that has happened is the car that won, we had two cars entered, so it was our race number 98 was the official winner of the X Prize, is now on display at the Henry Ford Museum in Dearborn. And I found my original pencil sketches and I've donated them to the museum, so they're going to be part of the collection also.
That's nice. Very cool.
That's very interesting. 4130, what size tubing were you using on
it? It's bigger diameter than we do in the airplane world because Ron's philosophy for the car was a small number of large diameter tubes rather than a large number of small diameter tubes. So I don't remember exactly because by the time I got to it, the bodies were on it and the tubes were padded. I think it was inch and a half mostly, but
that's pretty common stuff, easy to find.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that was part of the whole philosophy. And, you know, if you guys have seen the kind of things I design, my overall design philosophy has always been, you know, there's this old saw that inside every complicated problem, there's a simple problem screaming to get out. And if you can find it, you know, so we try to, I always try to get the efficiency in the basic architecture of this vehicle, not in all the fancy technology. So that was going in. And part of the reason was we had a very short time. It was about 18 months from when Oliver called me the first time and said, we want to do this, to when we were actually finishing the final run of three races that we had to do. So in that 18 months, we had to design it, fabricate four cars, test them, and then get them out to the track for three rounds of trials.
Wait a minute. You built four of these?
Yes.
Wow.
They're already in production.
Yeah, no kidding.
And part of the reason we could do that was having the NC technology and the ability to kit up the parts, basically.
Right.
But because it was such a short time frame, we were really forced to be cleverly primitive. We couldn't be super sophisticated. We didn't have time.
Just put it together and hope it works.
Exactly.
Well, a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we had some bloody good people on this. We had, you know, my partner on the design, Ron Mathis, is just a brilliant mechanical engineer. And one of the things I told him right at the beginning is no suspension parts will be exposed to the air. And he actually designed a front suspension with a double wishbone that fits entirely inside the hub of the wheel. So we had a front wheel fairing like a wheel pant on a fixed gear. And there's a couple of patents coming out on that, but that's a pretty slick bit of engineering.
Yeah.
And then we had the good fortune, you know, about the time we started to do this is when the economy started to go down and a bunch of good race teams went out of business. Well, Ron's been in racing for 30 years, so he had a Rolodex of people who were coming out of Formula One and NASCAR and, you know, ALMS and all of that. So when it came time to have a crew to do the fabricating and the shop work,
got
we
the
had
best.
The best guys in the business.
That's definitely something.
That is incredible.
I'm assuming this is like a one-cylinder diesel engine?
It wasn't a diesel. It was, we started with a 250cc Yamaha motorcycle engine, ran it on E85 alcohol, turboed it, and there's some fancy proprietary stuff happening in the electronics. And in the end, the best of our four cars did 129 miles per gallon highway and 109 combined.
That's
EPA
incredible.
Combined.
And when you go, you're saying highway at highway speeds?
Oh,
like
yes.
65,
yeah.
70 mile an hour?
We had to do, for the official highway run for the prize was 90 miles at an average of 60 miles an hour with a stop every 10 miles. And it was at Michigan International Speedway. And on that run, we did 129.6.
And the closest competitor was?
In the fourth seat, there was no closest competitor. By the time they were done with the second phase, we were the last man standing. There were three phases. They called shakedown, knockout, and finals. And at the end of knockout, there were two cars left in the mainstream, and they were Edison 2 race number 97 and Edison 2 race number 98. And it wasn't, it was strange because it wasn't a competition for absolute mileage. You know, mileage was pass fail. And then at the end, in every class where there was more than one survivor, they had a 100 mile race. And the first car across the line that was doing better than 100 miles per gallon won. Now, as a matter of fact, we didn't have to race against ourselves.
Yeah.
I mean, we still had to go to the finals and do the final mileage trials and range trials and all that, but we didn't have to.
That's pretty incredible. So do you have one of these sitting in your garage?
I wish. I wish. You know, we are now at that phase of having showed the world it can be done. And we actually have two demonstrator cars above and beyond the XPRIZE cars running. We have an electric. We converted one to electric, and it's brand new. And about a week ago, we finally got it out on the track. And we did 95 miles on 9.8 kilowatt hours, which is roughly three times what the Nissan Leaf can do.
Wow.
Wow. That's moving
now,
right
carrying
along.
One person at this point in time.
Carrying one person, but still, that's what most commuters do.
Right, right.
And so, you know, I mean, the overall philosophy is the same philosophy that I have in my airplanes, is lightweight, low drag, keep it simple, and you can do very good things.
What about reliability? Did you have any trouble with that?
Reliability? Well, in the contest cars, let's put it this way. We had the best pit crew in the business, and they saved us at least lunch.
Yeah.
Because, well, it was a tough go, because first of all, you're doing trials at Michigan International Speedway in July.
Oh, yeah.
So for cooling systems, that's quite a challenge. You know, because it's pass-fail 100 miles per gallon, we had everything tuned to the last, you know, because, I mean, on a highway car, if I get 99, no big deal.
Right.
In the contest, 99 is you're out. So yeah, we had everything tweaked, and we actually lost one car during one of the due to an engine control unit failure, where we were actually coasting out, you know, with the clutch in, and the ECU hit it with full throttle and bent a valve, and the engines were sealed at the beginning of the contest, so we weren't allowed to fix it. That's not what a highway car would look like. I mean the engine in the highway car would, and we have a prototype running right now where we actually took the drivetrain out of a smart car,
right?
Stock, and that car's a little rocket ship because it I don't know the exact numbers, but we're getting over 90 miles to the gallon out of it, and all the drivers would tell me is it's a little sluggish off the line, but the 60 to 100 time is blindingly fast. So I don't know what that means, but
yeah.
But you know, we got 60 horsepower in a 900-pound car, so it's
that's pretty good power to weight ratio. Yeah.
Now, what about safety requirements?
Well, you know, safety is something question everybody asks about a lightweight car. This car was designed by race car drivers. Brad Yeager, who's one of our engineers, is an Indy Lights driver who's ridden one into the wall at 160 miles an hour. Mm. So the car, it's like an open wheel car with fairings. So the axle assemblies and the wheel assemblies are all designed to shed energy. And because it's a rear engine car, we have a long nose. So we've got a crush box in the nose. And the, you know, we are actually building chassis right now for crash test, but we haven't crash tested them yet. But all of the finite element analysis, all of the computer analysis says we'll meet DOT standard. And once again, you know, we're talking about, once again, race car engineers who've put their good friends in cars going around between concrete walls at 190 miles an hour. So, you know, it's designed by people who are acutely conscious of it. But we're taking a race car sort of philosophy. You know, the thing, people tend to say, gee, lightweight, dangerous. But if you look at the typical road car, most of the mass in that road car will not help you in a crash. I mean, the weight of all those window motors and the motors riding your fancy seats and all that are not helping you in a crash. So it's the basic idea of you put a good, strong cell around the driver or around the passengers, and then you design the rest of the car to shed energy and an impact.
Very good. Well, I want to thank you for joining us. That's a different kind of flying, but still very interesting.
Definitely.
Yeah, and what's cool about it is that a lot of what went into it is what we learned at places like AirVenture and in 30 years of home building. But
you had to remind yourself, it never gets out of ground effect, darn it.
Well, it's not supposed to. I mean, it's really interesting trying to design a very low drag, very aerodynamically clean shape that doesn't fly, right, and make sure it doesn't fly.
Yeah, that is the trick, to keep it firmly on the ground.
Indeed.
Very good. Well, thank you for joining us, Barnaby.
My pleasure, guys.
Barnaby, always a pleasure.
And this is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.